Okay, we're live.
Hi.
Welcome. Okay.
Welcome to the Call to Learn, show number two. So in this episode, we're going to be talking still. We're continuing our January theme with curiosity. And do you have any announcements you wanted to make about what's going on with the show?
Well, just that this is our second show. You can view this show. You'll be able to view this show later today. And and beyond.
Yeah, it's either, just free to either everybody.
On, yes, this is our contribution, just free to everybody to give some of our insights and hopefully some ideas from other presenters that we've interviewed. And so it'll be available on our membership site, and then it will also be available on YouTube.
Yes.
Later on. We do have to, because we're using some integrated technology, it takes us a little bit of time to sew it back up at the end and then deliver it to you. But when we do,
it's a link in the videos.
Yeah, the videos don't record on the, this records automatically, but it does not record the videos as we do them. So we just have to kind of do that sewing up at the end.
Yeah.
So it takes a little bit of time, but that we're ready to go.
Okay. All right, so curiosity. So remember from last week, we were talking about curiosity bags. We talked about the curiosity language, that negative curiosity language that I thought was so great. Anyway, so some of the
negative curiosity was good. That's what it sounded like you said.
Okay, so the negative voices. No, you said what was it called?
It was the curiosity stoppers.
Oh, yeah, that's
it was
right.
The language that was the curiosity stoppers. We like the idea that we can recognize them.
Yes.
Yes. Use them.
Okay. Good point.
It
good
just
thing
sounded
to have
like
you.
That's what you were saying.
All right.
Okay. So
we're going to add to that today. We're going to have Molly Christensen and Becky Rogers coming in and sharing some of their tips and what they do with their curiosity and how to help people with your curiosity. So, and others. So let's do the first tip then. And the first tip, or do you want to go to the video first?
No, I'm just waiting
okay.
for you.
So I was thinking
I'm just
I would
trying
just...
to do technology at the same time as we're doing the show.
All right.
It's just a little challenging.
So this is a topic tip, so curiosity tip. And that would be to take tangents. And I remember when I was in school, the teacher was never take tangents. Even in Sunday school, like the classes in Sunday school would say, never, we're off subject, get back on subject,
yeah.
Still stick with the lesson. And I love the call to learn, I'm not the call to learn, the come follow me program that the church is saying, it's okay to take tangents. And I'm like, yes, please take tangents. Because it's in the tangents that you give your children confidence that they can have curiosity. When you're telling them to stop, ask me next week, stop, don't do that, I can't go there, I can't answer that question. When you're telling them those things, then they're feeling less confident about themselves. And they're feeling, well, I don't need to ask questions. My questions aren't answered or listened to. So therefore, I'm not going to ask those questions. So if you continue to take those tangents, and that's our tip, take the tangents. Because sometimes we feel like we have to do the curriculum, we have to do exactly what the book says, or we have to go on this lesson or whatever. Don't worry about the tangents. I mean, my children and I, the four youngest ones, are reading the scriptures together, and we take tangents so often. Sometimes we only get to like four or five verses, and then we stop, and we're just off somewhere else. And, you know, sometimes it's an hour later, sometimes it's a boring.
You know, that reminds me that when you're saying that sometimes you just get off and you only get a couple verses in.
Yeah.
Sounds like some of our... yours and my institute teachers have done.
Yeah.
Sometimes you only get one or two verses into Isaiah
and
have to quit.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
There's so much there.
Yeah, there's so much richness, so much curiosity has been come up.
Right.
And the kids ask the questions. My children are amazing question askers.
Well, you know,
I love it about them.
Whenever I'm in a live event and people are talking and people start asking questions, they sometimes get off topic, but sometimes if the presenter is good, they're good at saying, okay, we're going to go on this tangent. You're taking on this tangent. And how many, you know, they want to know how many people are interested. And then you find out that the whole class is, they go with the tangent and suddenly the whole thing blows up into being so much better.
And it's so richer.
Than if they had stayed with the notes that the presenter had had.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. If you're teaching in your home, whether you're teaching in a family home evening or teaching in a family devotional or teaching in a classroom setting, mm-hmm. when you take those tangents that are because of their curiosity.
Yeah. Then encourage it. Encourage then it. Because they're like, it's okay for me to ask questions. And you're giving them permission to be curious. So take the tangents.
And it can be a struggle to think, I'm not getting anything done.
Nope, you are.
That's not. You are getting things
yeah,
done.
Yeah, erase that from your mind because you are accomplishing something. You're giving your children confidence.
And a great education.
Yeah.
Because those things are what they're interested in. Guess what they're going to remember?
Yeah.
They're going to remember those tangents that you went on that they're learning from because they were interested in it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, so let's listen now to Molly Christensen and what her tip for us about curiosity is.
So I'm going to move on to the next question. It's about curiosity.
Sure.
So we've got curiosity, and curiosity, I think, is like the beginning of learning. Mm-hmm. So I want to know, how do you create curiosity in your children so they desire to learn?
Well, I think this kind of goes back to like setting up the environment.
Mm-hmm.
I make sure that there are interesting things that they want to become curious about mm-hmm. just all around us.
Okay.
You know, and I read good books to them that mm-hmm. makes them curious. And I have the books available for them. You know what else I do mm-hmm. that may be controversial? I limit video games.
Okay.
You know,
why not?
Because,
yeah.
because video games are passive
mm-hmm.
and they don't make you think. They don't make you curious.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
They really don't. And they send messages to my kids too.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm not totally against media, video games, whatever,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want it to be a focus
yeah.
in the life.
Well, and you use the word limited, right?
Yeah.
So they can a little bit, but not very much. Yeah.
And if I start noticing that that's all they want, that's mm-hmm. the appetite I'm creating.
Mm.
And I can't allow
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I have to watch what appetite am I creating. So I'm creating an appetite for learning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
creating an appetite in your own children. I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. That's uh-huh. awesome.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Molly Christensen. And I think that that's a great topic to bring up, especially with curiosity, is she said to limit the technology or to limit the video games. And I think every mother struggles with that because it's such an easy, well, my friend calls it the babysitter, right? It's such an easy tool just to let the kids play on there so you can get things done or you don't have to.
And we get it.
Yeah, we totally get it.
Right now, our kids are in the other room using some of them. They're finishing up their work and they'll go on technology for the last few minutes before we get back off this.
Yeah.
Just because.
So they can stay quiet.
So they'll be quiet.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if they're running around the house, you get to hear it. And if they do, don't worry about it. We're okay with it.
But like Molly said, to limit it.
Yeah.
Don't let them just play hours and hours on it. Just limit them. In my household, I limit them to a half an hour every day. They can, if their chores and work and schoolwork is done. If they don't, then they don't get to play that day. But otherwise, they get a half an hour every day. And my older children can work up to an hour a day if they practice their piano or practice their guitar.
Well, even the younger ones, if they go outside, we say, okay, if you're outside exercising, playing outside, mm-hmm. then we'll extend that time some more.
Yeah, yeah. But no more than an hour a day, for sure. That's my limit.
Because that's a lot anyway.
It is a lot. I think it's a heck of a lot. So, so limiting that... that technology, those video games that do that. Let them be curious about the snow. Let them be curious about anything else. Even if you put them on a TV show with the National Geographic or the History Station, they become curious about that.
One of my favorites was the how it's made or mm-hmm. how it works. Some
yeah,
of those
I love those. Yeah, yeah. We had a doctor's appointment this week, and the doctor was telling us about her grandson who watches the History Station a lot and goes on vacations a lot with her parents and his grandparents. And the teacher asked him to be on the geography bee. And he's like, all right, if that'll help me get some more credits, because he was low on his credits. And so he went and did it, and he beat everybody. He'd never studied. Everybody else had studied for days
but
and months. And
based on
and
what
because of his experience with reading, listening to the station and going on vacations and listening to the adults talk, then he was able to to win this, win the geography bee. So it's just helping them to be curious because they are learning. They are learning when they're doing that. And video games are passive, like Molly said, they're passive and they're not going to help you become in progress. So, yeah. All right. So next up,
we have Becky Rogers, and she has some cool ideas, and hers are more ways to help the curiosity. The way she does the curiosity is she helps them to be, she encourages their interests.
Yeah.
The interests that they have, she encourages that and implements that. And you'll see that in a sec.
All right. Let's listen to Becky.
So in homeschooling, there's lots of times that we're talking to them and we're saying, okay, let's learn this. And they're like, oh, I don't want to learn. I don't want to do this. How do you overcome that piece? How do you pique their curiosity so that they want to learn?
Well, I think one of the things is to observe what they want to learn.
Okay.
And sometimes what I want to learn is not the same as what they want to learn.
Yeah, often actually.
Yeah, often. And sometimes I get frustrated because, in fact, I just have had this conversation with myself in the last few weeks. Because I have stacks in my bedroom of books, like more than one, the things I'm going to get to, right? And I started making myself a reward for if I finish a book, I can order another book. I can't order another book until I get that one finished. Right?
If I get to a... I can't order another book until it's finished.
I know, right? Because somehow I'm going to absorb it just by having it sit on the floor in my room, but I'm getting to it. But I get frustrated because I'm like, I want time for my own education, you know? So finally I decided with this new school year to set aside that family education time just for the family. And so they can bring their stuff and I can also bring my stuff and we can just sit and work on our stuff
together. And you can get some books
read. I can read my books while they read their books. Yeah. And that way they can see that I do that. You know what I mean? And that way it doesn't have to compete. It doesn't, we just can be in it together. Yeah. And we don't have to all study the same thing.
Right.
I mean, we can if we want. If there's something I want to learn, I'm going to learn it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But observing what they want to learn. I know my mom was an expert at that when we were growing up. And she would notice early what our gifts and our talents were. And then she would invest heavily in those to strengthen those. So that by the time we were through sixth grade, we could, whatever it was that was our thing, she would have found it and really developed it. So by the time we got into junior high where things get weird, like we had something we identified with.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm a violin player and I do it really well.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Or I'm in the martial arts or I'm doing. Yeah. And so that's one of the things that I've tried to do with my kids is to see what they really love and then to support that and let them shine with that.
Yeah. So being like your mom.
So we have ventured into the martial arts, which I know nothing about. Well, that's not, I do now. I didn't when I started.
Does your husband teach it?
No, my husband doesn't teach it, but I have two boys that are third degree black belts, and they've done it from the time they were five. But the one of my older one, music, right? That's what we did. So I took him to his piano lesson, first one, and his fingers were like, and I just watched that thinking, I don't even know what to do with that. What if he doesn't play the piano? Like, you know, the coordination wasn't the same at all. But one day I came home and he was watching a Jackie Chan movie with my husband and his eyes were just sparkle, sparkle, sparkle. So I typically just kind of put it aside, you know, and I just observe it and just notice what happened and see if it goes away.
Okay.
Or if it gets stronger, because it'll either go away or it'll get stronger. Mm-hmm. Right. And it'll come in. So anyway, so when he was about five, we started him in martial arts and that's his nature. So
that's awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah. And so what martial arts is he?
He does taekwondo. He does actually a bunch of different things. He's got a lot of warrior energy in him, so he's just a protector and a defender, and I think it's just part of his...
He
was born that way.
Yeah.
Yep,
that's
absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
Okay, so you have
Becky
Rogers. Mm-hmm. She was talking about how her... I liked her point of... She observes what they're interested in.
Yeah.
And then
puts it aside.
Watch to see if they still are interested or if they back off. And if they are still interested, then she encourages that even more.
Yeah.
and moves forward. And there was, and I really liked what she said about the family learning time.
Yeah.
So everybody could be sitting in the living room together, you know, couches, floors, everything, mm-hmm. and just doing their own, learning their own stuff, as she put it.
So it's not like school time where you're learning and doing schooling, but it's family time where everyone's learning their own thing.
And yet, that's exactly like what it is schooling. It's just not an official,
that's true.
I'm teaching you.
Right, right.
So I really like that. I'm sorry. We are learning still our technology, and obviously whenever I touch the table, this bounces. So I'll try not to do that as much. Yeah. Okay,
so what's thank next? You, Becky, for being there. So next we have another curiosity tip for you. And that curiosity tip is, we have a slide, right? Don't we? Or something?
We do. And it's of curious. Course, this is technology again, and I'm still getting used to it.
Okay. So this tip is, it comes from the PDF that is available to you from the 13 ways to increase your curiosity. So it comes from that. I think it's number 10 on your list if you're looking at that. And it's the tip that's called, don't answer their questions. So isn't that curious? Don't answer their questions.
Why wouldn't you answer their questions?
Yeah.
That's what I immediately go to when you say that.
So, you know, in our first tip was go on tangents, right? Listen to their questions. But now I'm saying don't answer their questions. And why would I say that? Why would I say don't answer their questions? So the reason is because if you answer their question directly, then their brains will shut down and go, oh, now I know the answer, and their brains stop working. But if you answer their question with a question to get them thinking and lead them and guide them to the answer, then it's far more valuable for them. In fact, it'll stay in their mind a lot longer, and it will increase their recall of that answer later. So you're not just giving them confidence in their curiosity from the last tip, but you're also giving them, oh, I can find my own answers, one, and two, that they are able to recall it faster and better. So I have a little story to go along with that. So we were in an institute class, and the institute teacher said, so what does the Holy Ghost do? And we are like listing off all the things. He's a comforter, and he's a teacher, and he's a this, and he's that. And he's like, yeah, but what else? But what else? But what else? And then he got to a point where he's like, okay, there's something that you guys are missing that's super important. Yes, he's all of these things, but there's something that you're missing. And we're like, okay, what is it? And this not just went for a minute or two. It was like probably 10 minutes we're going into this. He goes, I'm going to give you some hints so that your mind will help you to recall this, because I know you know this. So he kept giving us hints. And one of the hints was, he goes, and you remember the old fashioned ways that you'd watch the movie and there would be a little man that would help you, and he had put the flashlight in front of you so you could find your seat in a dark place. And I was like, oh yeah. Okay. Well, what did he do? He guided us. Anyway, so it took us a long time to get to that.
I'm trying to remember the story and I'm not remembering it. Yeah.
Anyway, so we finally got to it. And now, and this has been 20 some odd years. Now, every time I think of the Holy Ghost, the first thing that comes to my mind is, he guides us. Because it stuck, and I'll never forget it. That's no, cool. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the experience. I never forgot the story. I never forgot the struggle that I had in my mind. And now I'll always remember that the Holy Ghost is our guide to help us find our way through the darkness. So that's one. So that's our tip, and that is to not answer their questions, to help them find their own answers, or to lead them to places that they can find their own answers. All right. So, do you want to tell them what's coming up next?
Yeah. So, as you recall, each one of these, this is our extra, they're out of the box segment. It's not the same as the rest of the day, and this is our segment. It's a part of our communication segment, and it's a tip on having a conversation. If you remember last time, we talked about the three magic words.
Yeah.
Tell them what the three magic words were, and I'll grab the video.
Tell me about what you're doing. Tell me about are the three magic words to help your kids to get you to talk, or get your kids to talk to you.
Yeah.
So this is follows up that. Once you get them to talk, now you do this.
You got to do some. You got to be listening well, right? You got there's something's got to be happening. So this is what it is.
Hi, I'm Tom Neal.
And I'm Trista Neal.
And we're here with another tip with for you. And this time, it's going to be signposts. You want to tell them about those?
Signposts? Yes, I like this one too. It's kind of an easy one. It's listening. It's just a listening skill, really. Communication is about a listening skill, right? So when you're talking to your children, I have a son that's really quiet. You know, Denison's really quiet. Oh, wow. Sometimes you have no idea what he's talking about, but there are little clues about thinking about.
Because he's not talking.
That's very true. So he's got these little clues that can give you things. But that I'm not talking about the clues. This time I'm talking about actually when he's talking, he'll say something. And when I'm listening for what we call signposts. Now, these signposts are just the next word. So he's telling me about, oh, when I went on to Google and I was filling out my application for this job, this happened with the computer. Well,
signpost.
Yeah, what was the signpost?
I heard several. The first one I noticed was job. What job are you talking about?
Yeah, which one are you applying for?
Tell me about that job that you applied for.
Yeah. So it's what they're talking about. You're looking for signposts and like, oh, that could be my next question to him. Or that could be the next conversation that we have. But you listen to the problem and you solve that problem. And then you say, now what job was that you were applying for?
So what I like about signposts is that you can do two things with them. You can notice the best way to follow a conversation.
Yeah.
Because you can notice in their emphasis, in their body language, in their tone, what words were the most important.
Yeah.
And those are the words
behind those words.
Yeah. Right. And so those words are the ones you can use to ask more questions. Tell me about and use that. You can guide the conversation to what you're wanting to share with them just by paying attention to the signposts and then using the signposts that work best for you. But really, in a conversation, when you're trying to pull out more information from your children, one of the best things is noticing their emotion.
Yeah, and the words that they use emotion with. You know, and a good example of signposts was Tasha. She came in the other day and she was talking to me about her day, and I noticed that she kept looking downward when she was talking about a coworker. So then I said, okay, so what about tomorrow? And she's like, oh. And then she just opened up and spilled this big, amazing story that happened with her, but she hadn't intended to tell me. And yet I recognized that she was always looking down when she said the word tomorrow in another conversation that she was having. So yeah, those things are really important. Look for the signposts, look for the body language that they're doing.
Cool.
So signposts. One thing I wanted to mention was that wasn't intended when we originally did that tip was talking about the body language part of the signposts. Normally when we've taught about signposts, people usually think about the words people are saying and recognizing the words. And then of course there's their inflection. Are they excited when they said that word? Were they sounding more depressed? But you brought in that whole body language piece, which is really good.
Because, that she kept looking down when she would say tomorrow.
Because that's the signpost you want to go with. Because there could have been, there were probably another 15 signposts.
Yeah.
But that one was an important one.
Yeah, that's
true. And you found that through her body language. So that was pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. All right. So that was our relationship tip for the day. Now we're going to do a little training piece. And that's on the three voices within our own head. And this is also something that can give you and increase your confidence. And that is, we have three voices within our heads. And one is Satan, who's going to tell you all the negative things that you know in the world. He's going to tell you you're ugly, you're stupid, you can't do anything. That person is thing. That's the comparing. It's the everything that's negative is what Satan's going to be telling you. All the things that are lies. He's the father of lies. And then the second voice is God. God is going to tell you all the positive things. and all the happy things and all the great things that are going useful on with that. Things. Useful, yeah, useful. And there's the truth. They're not the lie. They're the truth. And sometimes we hear all these voices within our heads and we can't learn to pull them apart and what's separate and what's different. But the cool thing about this is that there is one voice that we can learn from. And we can learn, is this a truth or is this a lie? And that's our own voice. Our own voice within our hearts. And we can always decipher it's our own because it's filled with curiosity. It's the learning. What can I learn more? Wait a minute. I can grow if I do that? Whoa, what if this, you know? And it's those questions that bring us greater curiosity that's going to help us to learn to decipher the truth in the air. Is it coming from God or is it coming from Satan? And that's the curiosity piece that's so important, to listen to your own inner voice, because that's the curiosity voice.
It's the questions.
Yeah.
It's the, what can I do with that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the great things about this piece that you're talking about is that it means that I can understand that when I hear all these negative things, it's not just me mm-hmm. being negative.
Yeah.
And I have a cool way to trigger listening to God as opposed to listening to Satan.
Awesome.
What's that? And that's to purposely ask a question that will bring in the positive, that will bring in light and knowledge. Like asking a question like, my friend Anne always likes to ask, why are you so amazing? Actually, you like to ask that one too. Why are you so amazing? When you ask that question, it causes you to listen to the Spirit and to God rather than to Satan.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to give you reasons you're amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He's only going to give you reasons that you are terrible,
yeah,
that you're not a good person, and all of the negative.
Mm-hmm.
So to trigger yourself to pay more attention to the light and the positive, choose a question that goes towards the light specifically.
Yeah.
Saying, why do I always do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wrong question.
Wrong question.
Wrong question, because you're going to get the answer.
The answer.
And you don't want those answers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The answer from your own memory, and mm-hmm. Satan's going to pull it right up and prove to you.
Yeah, yeah. You need to learn to be curious about the positive, not curious about the negative.
Yeah, and it can make a huge difference.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go.
All right. That ends our tip for what are you calling that? The training piece. A little training piece that we add in there. So the conclusion is, let's talk about like what we've learned today then. Do a little reflection. We've talked about not taking those tangents, not being afraid of those tangents. Do take those tangents.
Yeah, do take them.
Yeah, do take them. Molly talked about limiting the media and technology and how to keep the curiosity going by doing other things or active things rather than passive things. Becky talked about identifying the time, identifying what her children are interested in and curious about, and then going with that.
And taking the time to learn at the same time they are.
Yeah.
First of all, it allows you to prepare. You can be preparing for what you're going to teach them next, or you can prepare for just the knowledge you need to feel more confident yourself. But them watching you learn mm-hmm. and watching you study, what's mom studying? What's dad looking? What is dad reading? It piques their curiosity automatically.
Or it just leads them to more learning of themselves and what they want to learn too.
But they're always, you can't help but wonder in the back of their mind somewhere, if you haven't told them, they're going to be wondering what is it that mom and dad are studying.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to be curious about your brothers and sisters too, right?
Yeah, and
they're
studying? Why are they studying? Mom and dad have already had their degrees or whatever. Why are they studying? Because we're going to be learning all our lives.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and then we talked about the topic of don't answer their questions. Always feed them questions and help them to find their own answers. And then we did a relationship tip on how to find signposts inside of what they're saying. Look for their body language, look for what they're saying. And then we concluded with this training tip of listening to your three voices and knowing the difference between the three voices that are in your head. Right?
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
All right. So that concludes for today. I hope you've enjoyed this and gotten a little bit of piqued your own curiosity in what you can do to spark the interest and the desire for knowledge in your children.
Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you.
See you next time.
Bye.